nobody likes talking about this. Nobody wants to talk about this. And this is a problem that grows literally, as far as I can tell from the outside looking in, it's suicide. And in particular, young people who are committing suicide. Angie, you know, it's not like we've got figures that are pretty damning on this, but, you know, this is something that is happening in Southern Illinois, and it might be right around the corner from your home and right around the corner from your school.
Yes, yes. It is so true. Nearly everyone either knows someone or has a family or friend who has committed suicide or attempted it in Illinois. In those ages 15 to 34, it's the third leading cause of death. So we know it's hitting a lot of young people. And it's really hard to know and to deal with. So that's kind of what we were going to talk about today.
Right. And that's part of the problem is the unknown. And then, you know, we're talking about the 15 to 34. And quite frankly, I think if we reach below that 15 number, we'd probably be appalled as well. I mean, here's something I've been thinking about. And I saw this in some of the material, too, because I find that very often there's a disconnect between knowing that your son or daughter is a potential for suicide because they are covering it up and they're masking it. And I know this seems kind of an asinine question to ask. I mean, is it there at some point in the house you try to make your home safer against that risk, whether it's guns or prescription drugs, or maybe something else, something I'm not thinking of that could be used. Is that a viable area to be working in for parents and grandparents?
So I would say yes. There is, you know, the first real steps, though, are kind of to reach out, talk to them, acknowledge, and that we use an acronym, and there's all different acronyms, but that's it, ACT. So acknowledge, let them know that you see that they might be struggling, show them that you care by listening, offering support, and then telling someone or helping them get some kind of help. But yeah, what you're saying is there are recommendations if you are concerned about a family member or a friend to remove any guns. And it really depends on, you know, and then also getting rid of prescription medications, taking those to the safety, the drop boxes that you see throughout the communities. We have them at our hospitals. And at the cancer center, but getting rid of those unused medications to prevent overdose. And that's, you know, there's just so many facets to suicide.
There really are. And the reason why I asked Angie in is because school's coming up. I wanted people to think about this because I've been watching some of the suicide numbers over summer. They didn't seem to drop for whatever reason. I don't know. But I know that when kids go back to school, it was tough to be a kid to begin with because you just don't have all the, I call it the skin, that durability, the resistance, your armor that we'll call it, you know, when you're young. And I made a promise to myself when I was a kid to never forget how it felt when things went wrong. It's fresh. It's bright. It is more painful than when you're an adult. And so when you go back to school and social media now has added an extra component to the difficulty of youth, and the brutal nature in which we sometimes address one another or taunt or bully one another. And it seems very often when I do learn about suicides in Southern Illinois that bullying has been playing a role in what I've been reading about.
Yeah, so there are, you know, when you look at the statistics and data, there are lots of different reasons. And for teens, certainly relationships and bullying. And then, you know, have they had a crisis in the past or in the upcoming weeks? Do they have some kind of physical health problem? Do they get in trouble with the law? Do they have housing insecurity where maybe they're moving from home to home and just feel that hopeless and overwhelmed? And I think you make a good point about the social media. Everyone always, you know, looks at the social media and people put their best foot forward on social media usually. Right. And that peer pressure that then kids feel. And like you're saying, the bullying that can happen through social media as well. So it just changes things up a bit.
And it's interesting because you talked and you just said relationships a couple of moments ago. And the last young man that I know who took his own life, that was why. It was a relationship that had was not working out the way he wanted it to. Here's the thing. You and I can sit here for 9 minutes and talk about suicide and teen suicide, which is what we're focusing on today, and returning to school. But the fact is, no matter whether we were here 9 or 90 minutes, we still wouldn't be able to cover all the territory in such a sufficient manner for it to really be able to help. The idea being, there are a lot of other programs out here for you to learn. If you are a school teacher, if you are a concerned parent, there are resources. And here's the interesting thing, and I see this a lot, Angie, is people who have young people living inside their family that maybe not even are part of the family. They're friends of their son's friends or daughter's friends that were now living with them because of either financial issues or broken families or something along that line. I see this quite a lot. People who are in a position, whether you're in the church, you're a teacher, you're a friend, you're somebody who works for the youth, resources where you can learn more so you're better prepared for this, because you can't go say, you know, I think this person's thinking about suicide. I need to learn everything I can in the next 10 minutes off the internet. You can't do that. You have to be prepared in advance.
Yes. So there are things we at SIH, with a lot of our community partners, the local health departments and SIU and some of the mental health agencies, do work together to offer a course, mental health first aid. And again, it's an 8-hour course, and you can't learn everything because it is such a multifaceted issue. But it's a class where for 8 hours, you'll either learn about youth mental health first aid or adult mental health first aid, and really helps you identify risk factors, warning signs, helps you better understand what may be going on with the individual and kind of what to really look for, and also talks about community resources, where you can send or go with the person for help. And two, in Southern Illinois, we struggle with the number of resources, but there are some available. So one is the Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That is 1-800-273-TALK, and that's 1-800-273-8255. So that's a live, you call, you talk with someone. Another newer option is a crisis text line. And that you just text to 741-741, and you can ask questions, ask for help. If you're a teen or an adult who is struggling, you can just tell them how you're feeling or ask questions or whatever it may be. Just let someone know. And then there's also a veteran suicide hotline. That number is 1-800-273-8255. And you can also text to the Veteran Suicide Hotline. So that's 838-255. So there are some resources. Like I said, it'll never be enough, but it is really an issue that we all have to work together to help our community and support those who have had this happen among their family and friends. Just to work through it.
Right. You know, when it comes, I'm glad you brought up the veterans, too, because there was a story that broke over the weekend that a veteran had gone to a VA hospital, asked for assistance, did not get it, was turned away, and 2 hours later he took his own life. That happened over the last week. And you know, it's interesting, Angie, because you brought up the texting thing, and when I first heard and read about the texting thing, I'll be honest with you, I ridiculed it. And then I realized just how smart that is, because that is how the preferred level of communication. And also, it gives you some, I think there's some comfort that comes from doing it the way you want it, without somebody seeing your face and without them hearing your voice. And maybe, you know, that first reach out is kind of tentative. And the texting, I think, gives you a safe on-ramp to seek further help, which is how I now see it, as opposed to just thinking, oh, come on, well, now we got to text it. But when you realize that's the preferred form of communication, then you want to make it as easy for the person as you're talking to. It makes a lot more sense once you come through the funnel on texting, I guess it is. Angie Bailey, she's the Community Benefits Manager, SIH. School year's coming. It's going to be tough, right? There are problems all the way around. There are a lot of people. There's a lot of fear being pumped through society right now. Any final thoughts before I let you go back to your workday, Angie?
If you are out of school and you're interested in maybe bringing a program to your school, there's a group called Healthy Illinois Catch On to Health Consortium that is working to promote SOS. That's a suicide prevention program that looks at screening of all children. So that's available. And then the resources I shared, you can search those online, but we also have a resource guide available on the Healthy Southern Illinois Delta Network website, and that is hsidn.org. And then just look for the resources tab.